is love? What is God? How do people, most people don't see God as of a, how they picture God is a, like the, like I liken it to the Abraham Lincoln's throne, the picture of his seminar, where he's sitting on his throne with his hands on his throne and you do something wrong and he goes, zap. That's how most people picture God. But that's not how God is. God is a God of love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And when you have the concept of how God is, you will have the full concept of the miracle working power of God. It's when we realize how he is and what he does. Everything God does is done in love and because of love. Now, Ephesians 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Then we have what to receive the revelation of God is to receive a revelation of his love. The church desperately needs to know about the love of God. They need to know and understand it. God's love is mercy, it's compassion, it's love, and it's agape. Agape is the God kind of love. It's the love that gives and gives and gives, not expecting anything in return. That's the love of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. We have to believe in him and his faith. Faith works by love. Without that faith, there can be no love. It's a consuming fire. Do you know why God didn't love Adam in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned? Because God's love is a consuming fire. And in his consuming fire, had he loved Adam, he would have consumed him. He would have literally consumed him, because God's love is a consuming fire. He loved Adam that much, he loves us that much, that he sent Jesus to be the sin for us. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you realize what that love is? Do you realize that that love is before you knew God, he loved you? He sent Jesus to die for you? That's love. That's compassion. That's agape. Can you imagine what a wonderful, wonderful thing it will be when we get to heaven and we see God? He's just going to be right there with open arms saying, here I am, and we will be there with him. Jesus was the exact image of God. He was the exact image. That an exact image means a duplicate in kind. He was a duplicate in kind of God's love. And the Father, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. The words that I speak are his words. I only do what he says to for me to do. When Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for him. The Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon 8, verses 6 and 7, says, set me as a seal upon your heart. Set me as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all of his substance for love, his house would be utterly condemned. Imagine that. Where is love? Love is in everything you see. Love is in every tree, every flower, every bush, every animal, every star, everything is God's love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. He's constantly drawing us to him so that we can understand that love of all. Deuteronomy 7:11-15, and if you have your Bibles, would you turn there with me, please?
Would you repeat that?
Deuteronomy 7, 11 to 15. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep you unto you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine, your oil and the increase of your kine and the flocks of your sheep, and in the land which he sware unto your fathers to give you. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put no evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, upon you, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord your God shall deliver thee. Your eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto you. If you shall say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? We are to be obedient and to follow God's rule. God's rule is love. John 1:10. If anyone keep my commandments, you abide in me and I abide in you. And John 14:15 says, if you will love me, you will keep my commandments. John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If we keep them, we will do what God says. If we do what he says, he will love us, and he will love us regardless, but we love him. And this is how we can show people that we love him, by obeying his commandments. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit within us that teaches us the love, that teaches us the Spirit of God and how he functions and how he works. Satan cannot love. Satan cannot love. He instills upon us his will, his desire, his future, and what we demand. But John 10:10 says, the thief, which is Satan, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is in your life that is trying to kill you, destroy you, or whatever? If it isn't good, it isn't God. Because God says, I give you only good and perfect things. There isn't as much of a turning of the love of God as there is a faucet, or do you flick on a light switch. His love is set and it goes in one way. His love is supreme. His love is always there. His love is never ending. James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal commandment. What is the royal commandment? The royal commandment is love. The royal commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you shall love the Lord your God. That will be the first one. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with all your will. That is the love of God. If you have that love, you're going to love your neighbor. If you obey that love walk, that love rule, that love commandment, you will not break any of the other 10. The love commandment supersedes all the other 10 commandments. And they are all absorbed in that one commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I love the Father and the Father loves me, I do what the Father says. And so, walking in his love, I do what he says. I say what he says, I do what he says, and there is no going away from that. When you act in agape, you are acting in a love that gives just to give. When God says give something, you give it. When he doesn't say give it, you don't give it, because you don't want to be disobedient. Matthew 5:38 to 44. Turn there, please. You've heard it, that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is love. You may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? If you only love those that love you, you have no reward. There's no reward for that. You give me love and I give you love. There's an even exchange there. But when you love someone that doesn't love you, when you love someone that's praying against you and that's persecuting you, that is real love. You're reaching out. And when you reach out like that, if you reach out like that in the love of God, you can walk in the path that your cheek will be turned so that the enemy, when he goes to hit you, won't be able to. It's impossible to do that on your own. It's impossible to do that in the natural, in the human natural. But we have to be like God. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. You don't sin. If you have the love of God in you, you don't sin. Ephesians 5:11 says, be you therefore followers of God as dear children. How am I going to follow God? The picture of Jesus in the Gospels is the picture of you and I walking out our lives in the love of God. Jesus, everywhere he went, reached out. He reached out to people. He taught. He said. He prayed. He delivered. He set free. He healed. Jesus did that because of the love of the Father dwelling in him. And if we have the love of the Father in it, we will do exactly the same. It's a known fact. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, you choose. Do you realize that every day you choose? How many times a day during that day do you choose to go God's way or the enemy's way? God says, you choose. You do the choosing. I'll set before you those examples. You are going to choose which way. Every time you choose to do something opposite God's word, you're choosing to go the way of the enemy. God will only move on his word. God does not move against his word. He never moves against his word. So that when you are following God, you are going to follow his word. You are going to do what he does. The choice is yours. What about forgiveness? Forgiveness is something we think, well, I suppose I should forgive because God tells me to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of love. Forgiving means to forget what a person does to you. That's hard to do, and you cannot do it except with the love of God. Because when a person does something against you, you want to get even. You want to deck them as much as you can, or slap them, or do whatever you can. But the love of God will say, no, turn your other cheek. If you turn the other cheek, you go ahead, hit me this way or this way. You're not retaliating. We do not retaliate when we have the love of God in our heart. Forgiveness is a part of walking in love. I can't do that. You don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they did to you. What has anyone done to you that can compare to Jesus on the cross? Nothing can compare to Jesus on the cross. And when you look at it that way, nothing anybody can do is worth unforgiveness. If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. But it's when we forgive others that God forgives us. Walking in the love realm is the realm of miracles. That's the true realm when we walk in the love realm of Jesus, that God can move in the love realm. Matthew 18:21.
Would you repeat that?
Matthew 18:21.
What you said about walking in the love realm.
Walking in the love realm is a part of walking in love.
Is walking in miracles.
Right. It's a love walk. It's walking in the miracles. Matthew 18:21-22.
Matthew 1:18-22.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times 7. 70 times 7 is 140 times in a day. That allows you to forgive someone every 2 minutes you're walking in forgiveness, because allowing 8 hours for sleeping, that allows you the rest of the time to walk in forgiveness. 490 times is a lot of time to forgive. That means it would take you, when you say, I forgive you, it takes a good part of that 2 minutes. And so we are walking in a constant form of forgiveness, forgiving everyone for everything, regardless of what they did. And then we have Luke 17:4. And if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day, 70 times 7 in a day, that's 140 times in a day. And 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, you forgiven. So 70 times 7 is 490. 490 times in a day you walk in forgiveness. That's walking in total and complete forgiveness. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22 is an important part of scripture. It says, have faith in God. Really, it means have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now think about this. You say to whatever you're facing in your life, that's a mountain. It's a mountain facing you. So you say unto that mountain, be you removed and cast into the sea. You don't doubt in your heart. You believe what you're saying to that mountain, it's going to dissipate and pass into the sea. Because you are saying that to it, because the Word of God says that, you are moving in love and you can say that. So then, he goes on in verse 24, and he says, therefore, whenever you read the word therefore in scripture, go back and reread the verse before that. So, therefore means because I say. So because I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When you pray, when do you receive things?
As soon as you pray.
The minute you pray? Or do you wait till you receive them?
When you pray.
No, you don't wait till you receive them. You believe them, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. Hearing is what God moves in your life. Then it says, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So we have to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a huge part of walking in love. And when I say forget, you remember when someone does something to you, you say, I'll forgive him, but I won't forget. That's not the God kind of forgiveness. The God kind of forgiveness sets it aside and keeps on moving. You don't hold that against them. There will never come a time when you will have the opportunity to repay them for what they have done. You don't walk in unforgiveness. You walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is you develop yourself to walk in forgiveness. How do I do that? How do you get rid of unforgiveness? This is it. Forgive by faith as an act of your will and in obedience to God. Forgive. Secondly, first of all, confess your sin of unforgiveness. Secondly, you forgive your sin as an act. Thirdly, believe you receive your forgiveness, including anything wrong that you have done, any wrong that you have done or has been done to you. Then you praise and thank God for the forgiveness. If Satan tries to remind you of that, nope, I don't remember that. That old me is dead. That's in the sea of forgetfulness. I have forgiven, I have forgotten. That doesn't mean that you are not going to remember what the person has done to you. But you will remember it, but it won't have an effect on you because you've forgiven them. That's true forgiveness, and you have to walk in that forgiveness.
Pastor Shirley, could you repeat those that you said, 1, 2, 3, the first.
Yes.
Four.
Number one is confess your sin of unforgiveness.
Okay.
Number two is forgive by faith as an act of your will and in obedience to God. Number three is believe you receive your forgiveness, including any remembrance of the wrong done to you. Number four is praise and thank God. And number five, if Satan tries to remind you of that, you say, nope, that's not me. That's in the sea of forgetfulness. God has a sea of forgetfulness. God has forgiven you of everything that you have ever done. And so he forgives the person you forgive. What about strife? Strife is an enemy of love. Strife is something that works inside of you, causing dis-ease. Dis-ease causes disease. And so, if you have strife churning and churning and churning against you, it's working up other things that are against you. God never leaves nor forsakes us and never stops loving us. If Satan can stir up strife, he will. Strife never works from the inside. It always works from the outside in. It's always going to be what people cause you to cause you to cause. What it always be what people cause you to cause strife to come against it. Strife is deadly. It will stop your prayer. It will stop your answer to prayer. It will stop in a church. It will stop anything where strife is. God is not, and it is deadly. If you are not love conscious, you will be self-conscious. Self-conscious is yielding to self. It is selfishness. No one can do it for you. 1 John 3:22 and 24. John 3:22-24. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things which that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us the commandments. That's the commandment that we have to follow. We follow his commandments, which is love, and we have all the rest in, that are complete in that. You can never be used in the ministry if you're not walking in love. Now, this doesn't mean in your own love. It means in God's love. So that if you are never, because love does not move, have spiritual value. Love has a spiritual value. God is love. He is a spirit. This is why natural man can never understand the Bible. Because natural man reads it with his natural mind. God is a spirit. And those that are spiritually inclined are reading the Bible in the spirit, and it's the spirit that makes it known to us. Spirit makes known to spirit. That's why we can do things that people can't understand. Well, how can you walk in love? By the love of God, the spirit of God, the knowledge that God loves me and I love everyone. There are people that in the natural I don't like them, but there are people that, you know yourself, there are people you meet that rub against you like sandpaper. Yes. You have to make a concerted effort to love that person in spite of them. So what do?
You ask the Lord
to let you see that person in his eyes.
Okay.
Let me look at them through your eyes. Because if I look at them through your eyes, you love everybody. And I'll love them because you love them. Yeah. That's what's important to God.
I'm asking. You said love has a spiritual, what? That was good. Love has a spiritual. That was so good. I'm like, what was that?
As we walk in him, love has a spiritual. There's a spiritual connotation with love that you can't get any other way but by love.
Okay.
And God is love. And so if we are walking in God, we're walking in that love.
Okay.
What about fear? If you have love, perfect love casts out fear. So if you have fear of anything, your fear is your faith in that is greater than what God can do. So, when you have fear and faith are reciprocals, that means they're opposite of each other. So, fear is faith in whatever your faith is in, and what God is. Fear and faith are both very powerful forces. It was fear that came in the garden. Fear was the first emotion that man felt as a result of the fall. So it seems natural then that fear is going to be the motivation that will try to move us in everything that we do. I'm afraid. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ. And you have to make yourself do some of those things. Because when you don't make yourself do some of those things, you are at a loss. And you are at a loss because you don't have the love of God abiding in your heart. Fear has torment. Torment is fear. Terror is fear. What is terror? Terror is built up fear in something that you dread. Terror is built in fear that someday the United States is going to go down. Do you think that God would have this country go down? He knew how many people were going to be here. He knew there was going to be the water and all of this, the weather is going to be that way. God has it all in his control. We don't have to fear. God knows exactly when the time is to take all of us home. And that will be at his perfect timing. And only he knows that. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So we take that love and we move on with it. Matthew 6:28. You have to take authority over love. Matthew 6:28. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, yet what you shall put on. Is not their life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Why do you worry about what you're going to wear? It doesn't matter what you're going to wear. God knows. He clothes the lilies. He clothes everything. And God, you're important to God. You have to realize that. It isn't that you're just a number. Realize this, that God knows how many hairs on your head. Do you know how many hairs on your head you have?
No.
No. But God knows, and He replaces those hair that you lose. Every day He replaces those with new, thick, healthy hair. That's God. That's love. He cares about everything that concerns you. God, why are you doing this to me? He isn't doing that to you. Either you have set the pattern of it, for what you are saying and what you have said is exactly what you're living. What you said yesterday and the years before, that's exactly what you're living now, what's going on in your life. You can't blame anybody but the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Think about that. Out of the abundance, what are you putting in your heart? Are you putting TV? Are you putting soap words or whatever you put in during the day? Or are you putting in God's Word? God's Word is the example that we need to follow. So if we're putting in God's Word, what's going to come out? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth will always speak what the abundance of the heart says. So if you let something you get angry at someone and you let something come out of your mouth, it's in there all the time. It's been in there all the time. The things of Satan come from the outside in. When we bless the Lord with everything. Psalm 103:20. Love goes out of its way to see to it that others' feelings are not hurt. Love doesn't hurt. It never causes hurts. It is never okay to disregard people, criticize, or step on others. When we do these things, we are failing to walk in love and are walking in darkness. Divine love cannot be counterfeited. If you have it, others will know it. If you don't have it, others will know it. Divine love cannot be counterfeited. Walking in love is the key to walking in the anointing. As you walk in the anointing to love, you love beyond your own strength or your own capability. You are rooted and grounded in love. You understand the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. And that is when it comes into being. How do you develop the God kind of love? First of all, you follow God. If you're following God, how do you follow Him? Jesus is the image that you follow. The Jesus in the Gospels is the picture on the package. Jesus is the greatest seed that God ever sowed. When He sowed Jesus, He sowed us. He sowed us. We can do all that Jesus did if we make up our mind to it and we follow God in love. If we don't follow God in love, we're not following God. How do you develop the God kind of love? You follow God. You walk in love as Jesus did. Jesus always walked in love. Now, love doesn't mean that you're never going to say anything confrontational or that you're never going to argue with someone. Love will argue, but love will argue in love's way. In other words, you don't hold that against the person, what they're saying against you. You bypass that and say, no, God's love doesn't do that. So when we walk worthy of our calling, we are walking worthy of God. Are you walking worthy of your calling? Are you answering anybody harshly or unmannerly or whatever? How can you do this? You can only walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, honoring God. God's love, Matthew 12, 35 to 39. We'll start with verse 33. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the fruit corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit. Now, we are referred to in the Bible several times as trees of righteousness. So make your tree known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure, what is the good treasure? It's the abundance of your heart. If the abundance of your heart is a good treasure, you're going to speak good things. A good treasure, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. Think about that. Every idle word. An idle is a non-producing word. An idle word is a word contrary to the word of God. When you speak an idle word, you are speaking things contrary to it. Boy, am I sick. It's idle to what the word says. The word says, by his stripes you're healed. So every idle word you're going to give account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. You'll either be justified or condemned by your words. And what goes along right with this is Proverbs 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. A froward mouth is a mouth that's speaking contrary to the word. Perverse lips are lips that speak contrary to the word. So what is he saying here? Pay attention to my words. Let my words not depart out of your mouth. Keep saying my word over and over, for my words are life and health to you. Are God's words life and health to you? Or are you saying, God says my people can say what they have, but they're saying, my people can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. Are you saying what you have? Oh, I have a headache. Oh, I have the flu. Oh, I have this. No, say what the word of God says. Then you're not using a perverse mouth. You're speaking what comes out of the abundance of your heart. You have to keep putting it in there. You have to keep reading it and saying it and speaking it over and over, because that's what comes out of the abundance of your heart. And then when you do that, you're going to be what God says. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. Good things. The only way things come out of your heart is how?
Through your mouth.
Your heart and your mouth are connected. What comes out of your heart is going to come out through your mouth. So you want your mouth to be in line with your heart. You want your heart to be in line with the Spirit. Your heart is what you're going to speak out of. What are you doing? You're speaking to the mountain, and you're saying to it, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. When we say discipline your mouth, that's what it means. If you can't say what the word says, say nothing. Because when you say contrary to the word, you're speaking what God says. I want to read to you something that is in the Strife book. And this is a comparison of God's love and man's love. God's love is based on selflessness. Man's love is based on selfishness. God's love endures long without complaining. Man's love gives up easily and complains much. God's love is patient and kind. Man's love is impatient and unkind. God's love is not jealous and doesn't envy. Man's love is jealous and envious. God's love obeys first love last, others first, self last. And man's love is self first, others last. God's love overlooks faults and wrongs. Man's love offends and angers easily. Refuses anger and offense, God's love offends and angers easily. Oh, I left out, sykes out, fault. God's love sees the best in others, and man's love seeks the worst in others. Do you ever notice how everybody is always willing to, man as a whole is willing to accept the worst in people? Did you notice that whenever you say anything, everybody will latch on to the wrong things and not on the right things? God's love is happy at others' success. Man's love is happy at others' failures. God's love forgives and forgets. Man's love is unforgiving and seeking revenge. God's love is mannerly and polite. Man's love is unmannerly and rude. God's love is humble and quiet. Man's love is proud and boasts. God's love is considerate of others. Man's love is inconsiderate of others. God's love never gives up. Man's love always gives up quickly. God's love is honest and truthful. Man's love exaggerates the truth. God's love covers others' mistakes. Man's love loves to make others' mistakes known. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
God's love seeks no self-glory. Man's love says, look at me. God's love promotes others' ideas. Man's love promotes its own agenda. God's love praises others. Man's love blames others. God endures and helps. Man's love discourages and deters. So there you have a comparison. Totally the opposite. You can be what God wants you to be if you do what he wants you to do. There are the different kinds of love. There is phileo, there is storge, there's eros, and there's agape. So, phileo is human love. It's a love we have for another human being. It's man's love. It's selfish. Storge is to regard with affection, as with the elderly, tenderly. Eros is a sexual attraction. Selfishness of phileo, it's lustful. Agape is the highest kind of love that you can have. Agape love is God's kind of love. Agape love gives and gives and gives, not expecting anything in return. God gave his only begotten Son that you and I should accept him and receive life everlasting. Whether we accept him or not doesn't matter to God. He already gave it 2,000 years ago. So we have to realize that above all things, we have to have a fervent love. Paul prays that we are be rooted and grounded in love, and this we have in the fullness of God. We have that. The commandment of love is not a choice, it's a command. We don't have a choice. Well, love today, hate tomorrow. We have God's command. Command means you will do it. We have to love. The commandment of love is not a choice. It's the only command in the New Testament. The only command in the New Testament is love. Love others, love others, love others. We love because of what God said. And if we love because of what he says, we are going to love everybody. There was no agape love after Adam. God loved Adam, and he made him. He made Adam in his exact image. He said to Adam, he put him in the garden, and he said, love. So then, from the time of Adam, when Adam fell, there was no love until Jesus. Agape love is not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. Not mentioned. Faith, the commands to walk in, they weren't love. And love is mentioned in the Old Testament because it says we should love all. And God said that, but we don't have the love of God so that we can be obedient to obey it until we have the new commandment to love. When we have the new commandment to love, we love as God loves. And then we love. If you consider God's love as not as important, you're going to miss out on love. If you consider it that you don't have to have God's love, I can walk in love without God. No, you can't. It's impossible. You love God and you love Him. Ephesians 3:14-20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts, by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the other saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. This is Paul's prayer, and Paul prayed this for his disciples. We should be praying this every day, that he would give us, according to his riches and glory. His riches and glory are in abundance. They never end. They have no ending. That we should be strengthened by his Spirit in our inner man. It's in our inner man that the outer man is going to come out. The inner man is going to come out in our actions. That Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Faith with works by love, that we would be rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded is as if your feet are planted in concrete. You are rooted and grounded so that you can understand what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. That's knowing the full love of God. If you know the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, for example, the breadth is the boundless love of God. The length is the endless love of God. The depth is the fathomless, exhaustless love of God. There is no end to that. And the height of God is the measureless. Do you know that there is not one person in hell that doesn't realize the love of God and they missed it? That reaches from the height of heaven to the depth of hell. There isn't one person in hell that doesn't know that they missed it. And they didn't, God doesn't send them there. They send themselves to hell. There isn't one person that realizes how far the east is from the west. East and west can never join each other. If you start at the north and you go south, eventually you'll come down south and you'll be going back up towards north. But if you start east and go west, there's never any end. You just keep going around. That's the love of God. The love of God is built within us and to overtake us. Then you know and understand the love of God. That love passes knowledge. Passes knowledge. All the knowledge that man has can be bypassed with this one part of Scripture. We understand God's love. Man's love can't understand God's knowledge, but God's love can. When you know and understand that love of the anointing that is in you, it passes man's knowledge. This is walking in the realm of miracles. This scripture right here is walking in the love of miracles. If you walk in this, you are going to have miracles abound in your life. In every situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Whatever you're into, it doesn't matter. What would Jesus do? And what would he say? How would he act? How would he react to the situation? If you ask yourself that and put yourself in this scripture, you are asking yourself, what would Jesus do? Jesus would always respond in love. You think about this, John the Baptist was beheaded, and Jesus went alone by himself to pray. But the crowd followed Jesus. And how did Jesus retaliate? By healing. By doing the opposite of what the devil wanted. The devil wanted Jesus to say, go away, I want to be by myself. This is my cousin. I want to spend some time alone. But Jesus didn't. He reached out and he healed everyone that was there. That's the love of God. If we do that, we're going to do that. And I'd like to close with Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money. It doesn't matter whatever you have. Let love be the deciding factor in your life. And if love is the deciding factor in your life, it will always prevail. Because where love prevails, everything else goes out the window. You can walk in love. You can walk in love and obedience, obeying God and forgetting everything else, because it's the love of God that is timely in our hearts. It's the love of God that is going to make us into what we are. If I don't have love in my heart, and I couldn't even be speaking to you today if I didn't have that love. It's the love that drives, it's the love that gives, it's the love that keeps on giving, because it's the love of God abiding in you. And it's that love that you have to cultivate. The earth, the body of our bodies are like the soil. And the soil is like the seed. The seed is what's planted. As the seed is planted, a seed grows down before it grows up. The seed breaks open. And as it breaks open, a little root comes down. It grows down and it catches hold. Then the seed grows up above the ground, and then you have first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It's not until we have that love is the soil of our heart that brings forth the Word of God.